Praise and reverence the Word of God. Luke chapter number 16 today, and very familiar scripture, verse number 19. Woke up this morning, was planning on preaching something else this morning, to be honest with you. Had studied yesterday for it, had it ready to go as far as I was concerned. The Lord woke me up this morning, said, no. I said, well, Lord, what would you have me preach? And He pointed directly at this, couldn't get this off of mine, so this is what we'll preach this morning. If you'll be here tonight, Lord willing, if He lets me preach, I'll be preaching tonight on solutions for the struggle. And you need to come out and find out about what the struggle is, amen, and then find a solution, amen. And God has a solution for the struggle. And a lot of times we catch ourselves in struggles that we don't have to be in, and we can have the victory, but or we can live in the valley, amen. It's our choice. But God does have a solution. But that's not the message for this morning. Look at with me in verse number 19. The Bible says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And hell lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I'd like to draw your attention today. Also, hold your place there. We'll be preaching out of Luke chapter number 16. But I'd like for you, if you will, turn over to the book of Ephesians. Hold your place there. Chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. And I'll give you the title, if you need a title this morning, of the message that we'll be preaching on, the subject matter. The Bible says in verse number 18 of chapter 5, of Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 18. Don't mind you taking time and really hear those pages turning in the house of God as anything. The Bible says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Draw your attention to verse number 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. I want to preach on this subject out of Luke chapter number 16 today on some things about hell I'm thankful for. Some things about hell I'm thankful for. The Bible says that we're to give thanks in all things. And I believe there are things in Luke chapter number 16 that we can be thankful for. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Brother Tony, please pray for me this morning to bring the message. Amen. Some of you may have raised your brow when I said that. Preacher, you can be thankful about hell. The Bible says be thankful in all things. Amen. And so we can be thankful of all things. When we read the Scripture, there's things we can be thankful about. I've heard people go to the house of God and the preacher is preaching on a subject that maybe at that time in their life didn't seem to be directly in their life. They didn't get much out of the message. But I have come to find out, Brother Donald, that everything that I hear at the Word of God is for my help and for my hoping. Amen. Helping me. The old word is hope. You need to hope me. Words means you need to help me. Everything in the house of God is there for my helping. It doesn't really matter if a preacher is preaching on hell or he's preaching on heaven or anything in between that we need. Everything that's been brought from the Word of God is there to teach us and show us and enlighten us to who God is and what He's done for us. Like I said, I woke up this morning with this thought on some things about hell I'm thankful for. If you will, look at Luke chapter number 16 there again with me. We'll begin reading there again in verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Look what it says in verse number 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. The first thing I find out of here today is I am thankful I didn't wake up there today. I am thankful I didn't wake up in hell today. I am thankful every day that I get up, that when I woke up this morning, I didn't wake up in the pits of the damned. The Bible says it is a pit. It says, and in hell he lift up his eyes. He lift up his eyes. I've heard preachers preach on this, and it's a true fact here. It didn't say, notice what it says, and he didn't say he lifted, but it says he lifted up his eyes. That means 2,000 years ago when Jesus was preaching this, he brought this out. He said that man there lift up his eyes to look. As far as I know, according to the scripture, he is still looking up from the pit. We see here that it is a pit. In Isaiah 14:15 says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. The Bible says over in Psalm 42, he brought me up also of a horrible pit out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Brother Freeman, I'm glad this morning I didn't wake up in the place of the pit. Number two, I'm glad I didn't wake up there because of the pain. The Bible says, he says plainly, he says, being in torments, being in torments. What kind of torment is there in hell? Well, there's basically three basic torments. Number one, there's the fire. The Bible says, being in torments. In Matthew 25:41, it says, everlasting fire. Everlasting fire. There's a lot of people out there teaching that it does not last forever, but the Bible teaches differently. It says it is an everlasting fire. Amen. It never goes out. It never is consumed. The fuel doesn't run out in that fire. And so there's the pain of the fire itself. Then there's the pain of the fellowship. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, for if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. I'm glad today, number one, I'm not down the pit. But I'm also glad I'm not down the pain for the fire. But number two, I'm glad I'm not down in the pain of the fellowship. I'm glad today I didn't wake up in hell that I had fellowship now only with demons. Amen. I'm glad I didn't wake up with devils this morning. I'm glad I didn't have to get up this morning and hear the scowls and the hollers and the screams of those devils in hell and how much they hate God and how much they'd like to get their vengeance on them, how much they gnarl and snatch their teeth. I'm glad today that I didn't wake up in hell because of the fellowship. Number three, I'm glad I didn't wake up in hell because it's a pain of not only the pain of the fire and the fellowship, because of the pain of the future. The Bible says over in Isaiah 33:14, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell in the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? I think the worst part about hell is not the fire, although that's awful. Not the fellowship, although that's awful. But the fact of the future. There is no getting out of hell. In fact, the only time that there'll be a getting out of hell, is at the great white throne judgment when every sinner will appear before God at that judgment to be accused and be shown what they've done wrong. And then finally, the Bible says death and hell shall be thrown into the lake of fire. So there is no out of judgment there. The future of hell is that the fact of it, the pain of hell is the future never stops, never changes. There's no hope of it getting better. Well, I tell you one thing, to have no hope of nothing ever getting better then to be in hell would be an awful pain to have to live through. Then number three, I see this. It's the place of the pit and the place of pain. But it's a place of perception. I can preach stuff today and people just, I've seen it before glaze over. I've seen people fall asleep in service. I've seen people play games in service. I've seen people giggle. I've seen them whisper and talk about things of service, and you'd preach some of the most important messages that God ever talked to you about. And when you get out the back door, they got everything else on their mind but what had just been preached to them. I've seen that many times in my life. But I want to say this. The Bible says, notice what it says. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth. There's one thing about hell. Someone says, I'm an atheist. And I've heard it said before this, you're an atheist up to the point of death. But at the point of death, and you die, you quit being an atheist. When you meet God, you know that God is who he said he is. Amen. And at that moment you are no longer an atheist anymore. That man had probably never thought about God one time in life, never cared about Abraham, never given much thought to Lazarus was there, that old poor beggar at the ground. He never cared anything about that. But when he hit hell, the Bible says, and seeth. All of a sudden the perception is very clear about where you are and what you missed out on. The Bible says over there in Acts 26:18 that when Paul was sent out, he said he was sent to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Christ sent him out there. But what it said, he said he's there to open their eyes. What is preaching about? It's there. It is a pronouncement. It is a giving out of knowledge, of wisdom, of the Word of God, that people might have their eyes opened by the Holy Spirit and come to knowledge of Christ. Amen. Some people may never acknowledge God in this life, but in hell, they'll acknowledge who God is. The Bible says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Amen. And so I believe that, no problem there. I'm glad, I'm thankful I didn't wake up in hell this morning because of the pit, the pain, and the perception. But number four, because of the petition. Notice what it says. It said he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He noticed that where they were was not where he was. There was a distance between where he was and where they were. And it was a far off distance. Amen. I'm glad that what they was talking about is paradise, and that's not heaven. And there is no paradise anymore. You say, preacher, really? Really? Because the Bible told, remember what he told the thief on the cross? He said, this day thou shalt be with me in heaven. No, that's not what he said. He said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And so Christ was going to die on the cross that day, and he was going to take that thief that accepted him, that had told him to remember him, he was going to take him to paradise. And the Bible says he set the captives free, and there's no paradise anymore. There's no purgatory. There, by the way, there has never been any purgatory. There has been a paradise, but now there's no place that no longer we call a place a paradise. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be in paradise. No. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. And where's the presence of the Lord? He said he sits on the right hand of the Father in heaven. Amen. And so to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So to die in this life saved is to be present in heaven. And to die in this life lost is to be present in the presence of hell. The Bible says this in Ephesians 2:12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus you are sometimes, ye that who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You say, preacher, what are you thankful for about hell? I'm thankful, first of all, that I didn't wake up there. Amen. I'm glad this morning when I rolled over, I didn't roll over in flames. I didn't roll over and had to be around devils and demons, had no future ahead. I'm glad today when I got up, I had the peace and joy in my heart that know everything's all right. I'm glad when I laid my head on my pillow last night that I knew that I wouldn't wake up in hell today. Number one day, what can I be thankful about hell? I'm thankful I didn't wake up there. Number two, I'm thankful I haven't had some things that might have sent me there. Notice what it says in verse number 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Notice his petition. He said, could you just send Lazarus and just let him, could you just let him dip the tip of his finger and let one drop fall on my tongue? Can I have one more moment of just a little coolness, just one drop, and I'll be satisfied? Well, hell's an awful place when one drop of water would be satisfactory. You know what I'm saying? When one drop of water would be satisfactory, hell must be an awful place. Notice what he says in verse 25. We've heard this read, but I want to really draw your attention to verse number 25. The Bible says, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy life, notice what it says, receivest thy good things. You possessed some good things. Receivest thy good things. And likewise Lazarus, evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Now was the rich man in hell because he's rich? No. No. He was in hell because he was an unbeliever. And Lazarus was not tormented in the life. He did not have troubles in life because he is saved. But he had troubles in his life despite he was being saved. Just when you get saved doesn't mean troubles go away. It doesn't mean the bank account. There's a lot out there teaching, oh, prosperity, prosperity. Well, then you're going to have to take Lazarus and rip him out of the Bible. But Lazarus didn't have prosperity. A lot out there teaching that you don't have any health problems anymore once you get saved. But Lazarus had health problems. Now, I will say this, it's not the goodness of Lazarus that got him in heaven or just the badness of the rich man. It's the fact that whether or not they trusted in Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, whether they believed on Him or not. But notice what it says. Notice what it says. Son, remember that then in thy lifetime, thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. What happened to the rich man is the things got a hold of him. It's not that he had things, it's that things had him. The Bible says over in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 Timothy 6:9, but they that will be rich fall in temptation and snare and in a many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now notice what it says, that they that will be rich. What it is their whole mind, their whole thought, their whole being is craving to be rich. It's not saying having things is what makes you a sinner or makes you lost. It's when things have you. When you are absolutely possessed with the thought of things, I've got to have these things. And I've had people, I've talked to them, they say, well, when I get everything I want, then I'll become a Christian. You might not. You might not. No man cometh to the Father unless the Spirit draw him. What if the Spirit don't draw anymore? What if the Spirit don't say, come unto me? Huh? Luke 16:13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold to the one or despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon means riches or wealth. Luke 12:31, but rather seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. What's he telling us here? Here's what I'm thankful about hell today. I'm thankful I didn't wake up there. And I'm thankful that I haven't had some things that might have sent me there. I'm glad there wasn't some things in my life that I thought were so important that I had to have those things over getting saved. You understand? A lot of us bellyache, let's just be honest, a lot of us bellyache about things we don't have. Don't we? Come on. Don't we bellyache about that? I wish I had this thing, or I wish I had that thing, or I wish I had the other thing, or maybe one of these days I'll have that thing. What we truthfully do, we start to covet, and that's a sin, amen. If we're not careful, we might be wanting the very thing that if we'd had that thing, may have been the very thing that got our mind off God in the Scriptures. It may have been the very thing that had kept us from getting saved and going to heaven. I'm thankful today. Is there some things that God did not allow me to have? Because if I had them, it might have been the very thing that kept me from getting saved. Amen? So I want my things. You may not want all the things you think you want. Miss Tracy was talking to me the other day, and she said, preacher, I'm glad, I'm thankful. There's some things I prayed for God did not give me. Amen. There's some things I'm glad that God did not give me, because he had given me those things, I might have lost everything. Amen. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Number three, what some things I can, in hell I can be thankful for. I'm thankful I didn't wake up there. I'm thankful I haven't had some things that might have sent me there. Number three, I'm thankful things are fixed so I can never go there. Look at verse 26. And beside all this, having that you did get all those things, and you are already there, beside all this, beside the guilt, he said, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. There's a great gulf fixed. There's a distance. There's something between us that can never be made, can never be crossed. I can't cross over there. You can't cross over here. There's a great gulf fixed. Psalms 112:7, he shall not be afraid of the evil things. His heart is fixed. Trust in the Lord. Psalm 57:7, David says, my heart is fixed. Oh, Lord, my heart is fixed. I'm glad, Brother Freeman, 34 years ago on a Wednesday night, there was a gulf fixed between me and hell. I'm glad there's some things that are fixed that I could never go to hell. I'd have to crawl. The only way I can go to hell, I'd have to be unsaved. And I can't be unsaved because I am saved. I would have had to take my repentance back, but I can't take my repentance back because once you've done it, you've done it. I would have to be able to unconfess him as my personal Savior. I would have to uncall on him to save me. I would have to see myself as unguilty, but it's too late. I saw myself as guilty. And if that's not enough, he'd have to go backwards out of heaven, back into the tomb, back on the tree, back off the tree, back to the womb, and back to heaven. But he's not going to do all that because it's finished. And so there's something fixed that I can't go to hell. There's some things that today I'm glad about hell is that there are some things fixed that I can't go there. There's a gulf fixed and I can't cross it and God can't throw me across it. Amen. They cannot cross. I'm glad that God has fixed some things where I don't have to worry about going to hell. Is it a case of deserving hell? Oh, if we'd talk about deserving, I'd say this morning, I'm the first one, I deserve to go to hell. Hey, man, I didn't deserve to get up this morning. I didn't deserve to have health. I didn't deserve to have a mind. I don't deserve to have good friends. I don't deserve to have a good church. I don't deserve to have that old-fashioned Bible that I can read out of. But it's not a case of deserving. It's a case of giving and getting because of the grace of God. I'm glad the gulf is fixed. I'm glad of the grace. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting. He said they should not. If you'll just trust him, God did all that, the people should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that good? But the Bible also says, in John 10:28, and I given them life, and they shall never perish. Amen. He says, now I did this, so they should not perish. And they that believe in me, he said, I give them eternal life, and they shall not perish. I like that. See, I like when God tells me what I should do and what I shall have. Amen. Hey, amen. There's a difference in should and shall. Amen. You should not speed, but you can still speed. Amen. But when he says you shall, that's a fact. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. What does God want to do? He wants to fix some things in us. He wants to fix things where we don't have to worry about going to hell. Hell is no longer a danger for our lives. Was it Billy Sunday said? He said, I'm so sure. Was it Billy Sunday or was it? He said, I'm so sure I'm saved. He said, I could swing across hell on dry corn shuck, not worry about falling in. Somebody said, I'm so saved, it's pitiful. Amen. Why am I saved? Because of who I am? No. Because of who he is. Boy, I tell you one thing, I can be thankful of hell today. I can be thankful about some things of hell today because I know that I can never go there because things are fixed. Today there's some things about hell I can be thankful for. I'm thankful I have family that are not there. I'm thankful I have family not there. I was watching we was at the house the other day and flipping up, put in a video and Natalie's 14th birthday. We was all watching everybody walk around and all of a sudden Mama walked through the picture. It was only about 4 or 5 months before she stepped over in the glory side. And she was laughing and talking to everybody and having a time. She's just here in the background, just kind of laughing and just kind of thinking, boy, there for a minute, my old heart, you know. You know, Brother Freeman, I'm glad today I'm not concerned. You say, you just believe that because she's your mama. No, I believe that because I saw something. I heard something. She told me so. By the way, you ought to share your testimony with your family. Everybody ought to know. If you're saved, you ought to tell them so. And they ought to see it in you, not just hear what you said. They ought to see it in you. Amen. Well, Dad said, they asked Dad for his passing and said, hey, my brother said, how's grace working? You know, God gives living grace, God gives dying grace. New grace every morning. Said, ask Dad, said, how's grace? He said, it's wonderful. And it works. And about 4 hours later, he cut the engine off and he just wound down. About 2 a.m. in the morning, he stepped across in the glory. And I was crying, Mom, come over here with me. She put her arm around me. Listen now. She put her arm around me and she said, Terry, everything's all right. Mom was telling me everything's all right. And I looked at her and I said, oh, Mom, it's not that I don't believe everything's all right. I just realized that everything you've been preaching about, he's seeing right now. It's not that it's not all right. It's that it is all right. It is all right. Well, I got some loved ones over on the other side. I'm glad I know where they are. We didn't say goodbye. We just said farewell. Until I see you again. Amen. They're not saved because they're moms and dads. They're not saved because they're grandpas and grandmas. They're not saved because they're family members. They're saved because they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I know Him as my personal Savior. And I'm going to see Him over there one day. Amen. We'll worship together. Look at verse 27. I'll give you the message before I give you the points. I'll give you the points now. Then he said, I pray thee therefore. He was resigned to the fact that he was going to be there. Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren. That's his request. That he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. He said, please, get a message to them. They recognize they ought not come here. You know what it says over in 1 Thessalonians 4:15? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We're not going to hold them back. Dead's not sold sleeping. I don't go down to the cemetery and hug the grave. Now, if you go down there, it's fine. But we try to keep it there. We try to keep some flowers on there out of respect and reverence to them of who they were as good parents. Amen. I don't go down there and hug on that thing and say, boy, Mom and Dad, I miss you. I don't do that. Because that ain't nothing but an empty vessel. All that is resurrecting ground. That's where we plan them. What we plan is coming up. Amen. Amen. And I don't have to cling on to that gravesite and say, oh, I'm never going to see it. No, I'm going to see them. I'm going to see them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know what I can be thankful about hell today? I can be thankful I have family that are not there. I can be thankful I didn't wake up there. I can be thankful that some things, that I didn't have some things that might have sent me there. I can be thankful that things are fixed so I cannot go there. And today I can be thankful I heard that I didn't have to go there. Look at with me in verse number 29 through 31. I'm done. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Let them hear the scriptures. He said, I want you to send Lazarus. He said, no. He said, they have the scriptures. They have Moses and the prophets. That's the Old Testament teacher. They have them. Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered and said to them, Do you err not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God? It's important that people have the Word of God in their hand and have the Word of God in their ears. Look at verse 30. And he said, this is what a lost man says. And he said, nay. What he said is the Scripture's not good enough. You know, that's what all lost people always trying to do. They're trying to add something to God's way of salvation. Amen. It always has to do something emotional. Well, if a dead man shows up, they'll be scared to death. They'll surely get in then. That's emotional. That's right. That's emotional. Boy, if Lazarus shows up, they know he's dead. It'll scare them to death. They'll get right because of that. That's emotional. People want to add emotions to salvation. Right? That's what. Now, I believe y'all have some emotions or you are dead. Amen. But I'm not saved because of feelings. I have feelings because of faith and facts. Amen. I get excited because of what I know. Do you understand? And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, if they're going to be so skeptical that they will not listen to the Scriptures, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. John 5:39, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify me. That's what he told the Pharisees. Why do we have the Scriptures? Because when you preach the Scriptures, when you read the Scriptures, you hear about Jesus. And that's what the Word of God is written for. That mean, the Bible says that the Word became flesh. When you read the Scriptures, you find out about Jesus. I'm glad today, on 34 years ago on a Wednesday night, sitting on the back row, went to play and could not do it that night. Well, Tony, I'm glad I couldn't play that night. Hey, as far as I know, one of the young men that are on the back row, only one of them is still alive. One of the young men, all were teenagers, sitting on the back row. All were teenagers, went to play that night. I was 11 years old. Went to play that night, sit with the other boy. Dad, can I say, I'm shocked, Dad, let me do it. He let me sit on the back row that night, and I was planning on goofing and playing with those young boys. Couldn't play that night, real time. God arrested my soul from the get-go of the verses. I could not move. King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I know that I was in trouble. Playing games in the house of God. And saved. Didn't know Jesus. Playing games. Just didn't know him. Had no clue. Never been under conviction. Never knew what it was to be lost to that night. Raised up in church, just didn't get it. But I got it that night. I didn't think they were going to have an altar call quick enough, but then they did try to have an altar call. Them old flesh kicked back in. Devil whispered my ears and all. And I trembled back there and I said, God, I got to the point, I said, they'll sing one more verse. And the preacher says, I think we ought to sing one more verse. I was done. I'd heard the word. I'm glad God opened my ears up. You might have got saved at church. You might have got saved at home. You might have got saved by a woodpile somewhere out in the trees. I don't know, but if you got saved, you heard the word. You heard it. Faith cometh by hearing, and not by hearing the Word of God. Well, I'm glad today I heard that I didn't have to go to hell. If there's anything I can be thankful for today, I'm thankful that I heard that I didn't have to go. I'm glad God made a way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But when we come by Him, we don't have to go to hell. And somebody said, well, I don't think y'all will get excited about not going to hell. You're out of your mind. That I don't have to spend the rest of eternity with demons burning in hell and suffering. You don't think I ought to get excited about that? People get excited about a car going around a track, get excited about a ball going over a fence, get excited about somebody running across a line with a round football, an oblong ball in their hand, and get excited about that, and you can't get excited that you're not dying, going to hell. Something's wrong. Amen. Something's wrong. So if you want a Thanksgiving message, there you go. Some things about hell I'm thankful of. I'm glad I didn't wake up there this morning. Listen, if you're here this morning, I don't know everybody's heart. Whether you're a member or not a member, don't make no difference to me. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's all stand on. Pianist, come. Brother Johnny, I'd like for you to get a song this morning. Do you know I surrender all? Can y'all sing I surrender all? That is my favorite altar call song. I don't know what you need this morning. Maybe.